Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask you to come by the Holy Spirit and just light land on this word, your word shed for our hearts, bread broken, so that we can receive from you. We can be changed. We will be changed. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. Middle lights, yeah. Bit of volume on that one, I can't hear anything on there. Is that coming through? Hello, hello, hello. No, I'm going to use this one. Yeah, that's good. Oh, you want it high? I was watching the news this week, and they have it quite low. I don't know how to bring it up. What do you think about that? What about that? How's that? Hello? Say goeiemorgen.
Goeiemorgen.
And saying good morning. Who knows what breakfast is in Dutch? What a funny word it is. Ombijt.
Ombijt.
Can you believe that? What's breakfast in French? Déjeuner. Just testing you. What's déjeuner then?
Dinner.
Lunch. Oui. I beg your pardon, ma'am? What is? Is lunch. Well done. And what about Romania? What's breakfast in Romania? What? Mic dejeun. Mic dejeun. And lunch is dejeun. Hello? Just seems weird. How was it? Oh, right. That again? Learn something today. That's the end of the message for this morning. Tell you what, that was great though to hear from the people. I want to encourage you all. I found a really good button on my phone. You press the little, well, this is an iPhone. All right, you just press the button, you swipe up, and there's a moon. You've seen the moon?
Yeah.
Turn the moon on. The moon is do not disturb. We're focused on God. It's the most powerful button on your phone. And very few people know that it's there. If you feel like you don't get through as much in the day as you want, and you feel like you're interrupted all the time, that's the button you need. Do not disturb. All right, so we can be focused for this little while. I'm excited about this. Packages from Satan. Did you all get your WhatsApp invitation? And so I want to talk about that. And we're in this series. The series is called Positive Hope and Bold Confidence. Everyone say Positive Hope and Bold Confidence. And what we're doing, Carrie and I and the team, really, we're kind of tag teaming. We're kind of working together. I say it every week, we're in a new zone. We're in a new kind of a season. We're in a new place. God is opening fresh doors. You're going to be really excited. We've got Easter on the 1st of April this year. So prepare people. Let's be mindful that we can reach. Is that me doing that? Probably. Mindful of just reaching and connecting with other people. And in any way that we can. So that means bringing them along to church is a great thing to do because there's such nice people here. Is that really me doing that all the time? I'm going to try and fix that because that'll put me off. And I think this is the real, for those of you that want to be preachers or singers, and this is the reality of life. All right, let's try this now. So, where were we now? See those distractions? It's just like a phone. See? 1st of April is Easter. So, well, every week. We want to be thinking about that every week. Everyone, just touch the person next to you and just release God's power and say, an anointing to bring people. An anointing to bring people. It's the anointing that makes the difference. But as well as that, what we're doing is reaching into our community, and so we've got some plans on the drawing board right now. We'll be letting you know that over the next few weeks, and then the plan, what Carrie and I have got bubbling in our hearts over the next month, is to talk a little bit about the moving of the Holy Spirit, how to flow in an anointing, how to minister that to people, whether they're Christians or not Christians. And so as we gear up, as we prepare, not just for a one-off thing, not just we're doing Stains Upon Thames Day, that's going to be awesome, but we're doing more than that. And we don't want to just have a one-off, let's do this and make a great event. We want a lifestyle of loving and reaching people in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. So over the month of March, we'll be, between us, we'll be tackling that topic. And I'm really thankful for her and for all our team. I just thought they did a brilliant job today talking about what my church is. That's awesome. So I've got a few verses. I've got a little machine, haven't I? Is that there? Can I have that little machine? Did someone pass it to me? Have I got it already? Doing a lot of work walking here this morning. But anyway, I've learned a bit of Romanian. It could be worse. So we're going to do our best to get through this. I want to talk about that. It's a really important topic, and I think it's going to help you a lot, which is why I've asked you to either turn the phones off or do not disturb them, because I want you to really be focused and catch something that I think will help us a lot. We're talking about building, about what God, the kind of people we are. You see, if we walk away from saying, or you walk away from your community of people, or the 30, 50, 100 people that you connect with, that you influence, and we don't influence them well for Jesus, then we've really missed the whole point. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So that shouldn't make you feel guilty. A lot of Christians, you know, we've got to get past that's for silly. God doesn't want you. But what we've got to do is keep learning and never forget what we're here for. You know, Jesus didn't die to save us just for us. He died to reach into, to save, to touch, to change the entire planet. And there's only one vessel that he uses to do that, and that's us, people. Everyone say, it's me.
Amen.
You're the vessel God uses. If people do not bring the gospel
both in word and in demonstration to other people, then it won't be boring. And so every one of us is a missionary. Every one of us, I love what we were hearing this morning, the whole mindset of being on a mission. But we need equipment to do that. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And we also need to know that it comes out of a certain belief about ourselves. Everything about your life is going to come down to what you really believe about yourself, first and foremost. I didn't say that that's more important than God. But God already believes wonderful things about you. Won't make any difference to you unless you decide that that's what you're going to believe. So we're talking about building genuine, vital, godly confidence into our hearts. And in the middle of that whole message and that idea is this revelation, this idea of packages from Satan. Never forget rule one. Rule one is? God's always good. Good thing to teach your kids. That's the first thing we want to get. Just wanted to remind you of that. But here we go. I've got three verses from the Bible. If you have your Bible with you, great. If you need to use your phone, I guess, you know, just keep it on Do Not Disturb. And but let's have a look at this. Three verses that we want to establish something about what God thinks about us and what life should be like. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, no shortage there, plenty, and of the gift of righteousness, right standing with God, everything cool between me and the Almighty, that gift. Those people will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. God's intent always was that you rule and reign in life. And in fact, as humans, we basically do rule in life. We just don't realize that's what we're doing. It's only humans that can destroy the planet by dropping bombs or having wars or killing people one at a time or whatever. And it's only by a volitional act of our will. And it's only people that can choose a nation or choose a people group or choose a community and change it either by injecting finance or education or love or whatever, hospitals in war zones, whatever. We have the capacity to change the world. We're doing it all the time. But most of the time we don't realize that we're responsible for running our world. And so what you have is basically what you settled for, what you allowed to come into your world. We're ruling it. And we are called to reign in life, to rule over the circumstances of life. That doesn't mean that all troubles go away, and that doesn't mean that you don't face trouble, because you will. But part of the path of victory is to face trouble. Part of faith, the development of faith in your life, is walking through unbelief. Having times of unbelief and learning to build faith in the middle of unbelief. Never feel bad if your faith isn't quite there. Just realize, let's build this. Alright, so that's first one. It's Romans 5:17. Let's look at this one now. Be alert and of sober mind because your enemy, the devil. Who's your enemy?
The devil.
No, your spouse is not your enemy. Your kids are not your enemy. Your parents are not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. The Prime Minister is not your enemy. Donald Trump is not your enemy. Stop walking around saying, if it were only for this person, if that was different, if my parents were different, if my life was different, if I was born in a different nation, stop it. God's good. Rule one. God's good. And you have an enemy, but his name is Satan. You've got to identify that. Part of why I called it what I did, because I thought it might get a little attention. And it's not that we spend a whole lot of time focused on Satan, but you better know you've got an enemy. And he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour. He would devour you as much as you let him. And whatever deception or whatever areas of your life that are broken, stolen away, that you haven't yet got restored, you can bet the devil is behind it. He's a destroyer, God is a builder. Never forget that. And so that's important. You've got an enemy. Then let's look at this third verse. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. One of the reasons the devil didn't like me to share this message
and a proof of how little authority he really has since I am sharing this message, is that we're exposing him for what he is. He has schemes against you, against every one of us. And we're going to address a major scheme today, which is the packages that he sent. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. We need to know how he operates. You don't want to spend your whole life talking about Satan. We don't do that. But there are times when we need to address it. So you've got to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Everyone just go like this. I'm taking my stand. Stay with me. I'm taking my stand. And now notice, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not people. If people, most of it, if people are rightly related to God and met Jesus, and then they are out from under the control of Satan, they're all usable. They're all wonderful. There's no nasty ones, no mean ones, no self-centered ones. They're all growing, they're all learning, they're all humble. Why? Because they're connected with God. And because Satan's influence is off them. The biggest difference, according to some people that have been to heaven and then come back here, the biggest difference they experience, everything is very similar. Trees, roads, you know, admittedly the curves are made of gold, they're all different, but essentially, a lot of mountains, houses, front doors, food, all that stuff. But the big difference is that there's no Satan there. So there's not this, in the words of one young man who went there when he was young, came back and said, there's not this constant, oppressive resistance, heaviness that you feel like you're trying to fight. That's the prince of the power of the air. That's gone up there. But the good thing about that is, won't that be nice to get there? But the good thing about being here is we get to learn how to build a strong life in Jesus before we get there. It's not going to be the same there. And I, you know, when I get there, that'll sort itself out. You know, I'll talk about it more one day. But I'll have a house, of course, and we'll all have a house. But some of our houses will be very different. Some will be magnificent mansions, and some of them won't be so magnificent. That's just the reality of it. Some will have different levels of glory on our lives. We want to, and what we do with our 10, 20, 30, 70, 80, whatever years you've got left, will determine what kind of a reward you receive in heaven. Isn't that right, Jessica? Yes, it is. And so that's a whole, you know, another story. But here's the thing. We take our stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming all the time. He would love to tell you that the best thing you can do is save all your money, right, and invest it and get nice, a really nice house. And if you've got a spare 10 grand, then let's get a second bathroom or a better car or all those things. And they're not bad in themselves. But if they become more important than reaching people with the gospel, then you've got tricked. So you get to decide what you do with your finances. Everybody does. And everybody has different amounts. But most people, including Christians, live under this deception that really what I need is more money to fix that problem and that problem and that problem. You really don't need that. You really need more of God. You can get by just fine in whatever situation you're in if you keep your trust in God. Now, I'm making a point. I know there are realities to be fine. But I'm just saying that you're hoodwinked if all your energy and focus is on what I can achieve in this life. Because this life is short and there's another life coming out of it that's after it, that's more important, different. But this, a big part of this world is preparing for the next world. And Jesus said it this way. You might remember this. He said, a lot of those who are first will be last. Didn't say all, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. What does that mean? When you get to heaven, a lot of the people that pushed forward to build their own world and make it grand, without putting much focus on God's kingdom, will tend to be at the other end in heaven. And the Mother Teresa's, and there are thousands of them, we just don't know them all, the only one we know. The people that chose to put their treasure into bringing the gospel to others, where there may now be 100 or 1,000 people who are in heaven. They're the ones, they may be living in a relatively ordinary place down here. They're the ones that are going to get the better place in heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's kind of a side point, but it just came to me.
Pretty good, wasn't it? All right, Sam?
So, back to our point. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not people. But this is what it is against. There is a struggle. The better word in the Greek is wrestle. Our wrestle is against rulers, and we've got four levels of demonic power. Just in the angelic realm, you have different levels of angels. The archangels, of which there were three, they are most clearly have more authority. Just like you have in earth, we have systems, patterns, governments, levels of authority. There are levels of authority in heaven, and we're dealing with that here. So we're against rulers, one kind of demonic force. We're against authorities. We're against powers of this dark world. And the fourth level is spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's a different kind of an area. But basically, the point I'm making is that there is demonic forces that are pretty organized, that are set against you. And the purpose of having armor is that we put it on and take our stand against it. So if you're breezing through life and you don't feel like there's any real resistance to anything, you know, I'm tempted to wonder whether you're saved. Because when you've met Jesus and then you start to want to make your life what he wants it to be, that's when this guy gets agitated. And the stronger you go to God, the more resistance you'll get. The good news is, like we started with, everybody who receives grace from God and the gift of righteousness will reign. Alright, I've done enough. So let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at these. Here it is. There's hell in the bottom left corner. Got a few diagrams for you. You ready? Packages from hell. The leader of hell is Satan. There's the packages, and there's you. That is beautiful artwork, which will be available in the Van Gogh Museum in a couple of years. I've got connections. And your leader is you. And up come these packages, and aren't they pretty? And the question is, shall I open it? Now, a lot of times we don't even realize this is what's going on. But this is what's going on. This happens all the time, every day. And these are my, I've done the best, it's a little bit unclear, but I think I can make the point anyway. These are all thought packages. The packages that come from hell are all thought packages. And they're made to look as inviting as possible. There's a couple of things you always know about the devil. He's a liar, and he's or a deceiver, and he's an accuser. He'll always try and make God look like the bad guy, when actually he's the bad guy. That's his area of expertise. And so he'll make it sound as sweet as possible. With love from hell, I put there. See that? And that, I know that sounds funny, but that's what he's like. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I don't think I want to go to heaven. You know, I'm going to go to hell where all my mates are and we're going to have a party there.
Yeah.
He'll just sell anything. He'll just try anything. It's not true, but he'll try it with love from hell. So here comes some thought packages. Let's have a look at what these look like. Here's a few examples. Here's one package that'll come. Just accept the fact that you'll never really amount to anything. Has anyone ever had that package attempted to be delivered to you?
Yeah.
These are all very common. Just accept the fact you'll never really amount to anything. That's a typical love statement. That's a typical, and it looks enticing. And the question we have, the opportunity we have in every package is, will I open it or not? But you open it with your thoughts, with your soul, with your thoughts and your emotions. You think, will I go there? To quote Joyce Meyer, she says it like this, she talks about don't touch it with your mind. But it's actually your mind and your emotions, in my opinion. Because this idea, just accept the fact that you'll never really amount to anything. You might say in your mind, I don't believe that, because I believe the Bible. But if you grew up in a home where that's the way you were trained, and you heard that a lot, then your emotions will go there. And Satan will say, yeah, go ahead, open it. That's one. Here's another one. Here's another one that comes. They've gone too far. I am not forgetting that. I shouldn't have to put up with that. How often do we get that? Some other person done something, hurt you, mistreated you, and that thought comes. It's straight from hell. With love from hell. They've gone too far. People can never go too far. Not for you. You're full of grace. You've got Jesus inside you. Don't look at me like, well, you know, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. The point is this, are we going to believe the Bible or not? See, we may be so used to getting to a point where we're just so deeply hurt that we feel like we're not going to put up with it. I hear it all the time, just about every day of my life, because I work amongst a lot of unbelievers. And they're lovely people, but that's a thought. I just know, it's a thought. Satan just sent that to you, and it kills your own life. You can try, but probably you'll never fully get over that. Anyone ever had that package attempted to be delivered? Oh, you can try. Yeah, good to try. Be a good Christian. But probably, you know, that was a big mistake. That was a big thing that went wrong. That divorce, you know, God will never forget you. That financial collapse, you know. You were dishonest in years past and you stole thousands of pounds from people and you didn't do the right thing or whatever. You know, God, you'll probably never really get over it. Yeah, you will. You can. You don't have to open that package. Here's another one. Finally, a nice Christian guy comes along and he ends up liking her. Anyone ever had that package? Man, could keep your hand down. And, that's true. Satan will sell you that. Because what's he reinforcing? Ah, you're not going to get what your heart desires, really. You know, just my luck. I've just decided to buy that dress. It's on special. And that woman in front of me got the last one in my sight. I never got the car park. I had the special deal, but the offer ran out. All these things are like bad luck stories. We just missed out. Just what a tragedy. It's just a lie. It's a package from hell. You don't have to open it. But when you start playing with it, with your thinking, you're starting to open a package you don't want to open. No matter how hard you try, you'll never be as popular as... I talk to people like that, they think like that. I don't look as good, I'm not act as good, I'm not cool, I'm not strong enough, I don't have as much money, I don't have as much intelligence, I don't have the same degree, I don't have the connection. For some reason, I just seem to worry about things and they don't. You're selling you all this stuff. No matter how hard you try. Here's another one. You just can't do it. You know, you can't do that. You just can't do it. Just roll over, give up. It's not bad. It's not like God doesn't love you. But you just can't do that. It's just too much. And I've got you a blank one. Whoop, I didn't put the blank one in. But you can fill in your own. What you need to realize is that the primary way Satan tries to get to you is by sending you thoughts. And what he'll normally say is, see, you thought that. You noticed that cute girl with a very particularly cool shape, wearing a slightly too low-cut blouse. Did she have a bra on under there? I'm not even sure. I shouldn't really be looking at that. That's how men think, folks. Look at me like that. Oh, we've got a few that are under 14. You'll cut it, don't worry. Mum and Dad will explain to you. But the point is, you see, thoughts come. Thoughts come. And you don't, unless, and it's not sin for the thought to come. It's sin for missing the mark when you play with the thought, when you allow it to continue. And what the devil will tell you is, you thought that, see how sinful you are, see how naughty you are. You noticed that, didn't you? You noticed that guy, you didn't, and he'll be the same for women. Notice that guy, you know, my husband. I mean, I was talking to a lady the other day, you know, very nice person, happily married. But, you know, I said, the rugby's on the weekend, you watching any of the rugby? No, I don't watch the rugby, I watch the men. that can be okay up to a point. But if you play with that thought, you start wishing, you start pretending you're with somebody else and the whole, all that stuff. That's just in a simple area, in a moral area. But all those thoughts kind of come. The devil will fight it. You're not going to be able to do that. You've never been able to do that. Your mum, you know, it's the way it is. You grew up in that situation. You were poor. You'll never really, you know, you'll get by, but you'll never really have a lot. The real dreams of your heart, if they were going to come to pass, they would have come to pass by now. So just give up on that and just be happy to be a pleasure. You want to be a Christian, placid. Satan will try anything he can to try and derail your thinking, to get you to play with those thoughts. You see, and you get a choice to open it or not to open it. Now, if you open it, this is what happens. You entertain, we'll call it sin, that's the word people use, but that's actually not my primary concern. What too many Christians do is, oh my God, I've sinned, God paid for that like 2,000 years ago, so I'm not condoning sin, no I'm not. I'm saying for you to be excessively focused on whether the little thing you did was slightly, that's the problem God has with sin is that it destroys people. He loves people more than he hates sin, if I can put it that way. Don't know how theologically that pans out, but I'll look into it. But he loves people. That's his passion. So he when we toy with the thought, here's what happens. In our head starts to get just a little bit used to that idea. Seeds are sown, if you will. Which is what the Bible says, words are seeds. And if you've toyed with that idea before, and there's a few seeds there, you'll feel more familiar with that idea. And it falls on the ground more comfortably. And then and what they tell us, what they now know, like in the last 10 years, which they didn't know before that, is that physiologically your brain changes. Like physically it changes, and a certain pattern starts to develop in these neurons based on what you thought before. Mm-hmm. And if you keep thinking it, that little track in your brain gets deeper and deeper. The first, what's her name? Caroline Leaf's good on all that stuff if those things interest you. But the point is that whichever way you look at it, physiologically, scripturally, spiritually, you're embracing a certain level of that kind of thought. Are you with me? And so let's have a look now at what we're supposed to do about that. Though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So we fight. Everyone say we fight. You've got to be a fighter. In your heart. You've got to have resistance. You've got to have strength. George, you've got to be a fighter, baby. You've got to have some. We don't wage war like the world does, though. We don't pull out guns and stuff, sticks. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to what? Demolish strongholds. What do? We demolish arguments and every pretension or lofty opinion or speculation that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It's important to get that. Because I've got about 5 minutes and I want to wrap up, so stay with me here. It's important to get that. See, there was a significant move of God, especially in the 90s, with this area of authority, 80s and 90s, spiritual authority. And we got the idea that pulling down strongholds and lofty things had to do with us taking authority over spiritual powers over a certain region, an area like Spain or the Southeast of England. And there will be some validity in that. But what people missed in all that is that's not really what this verse is saying. This is talking about your thinking. We demolish an argument. There's an argument in your head. The thought came, and then you think, yeah, but I read in the Bible, or I listened to Paul on the podcast, or whatever, or I saw it in the scripture, or whatever. But that's not true. That actually I can do all things, that I'm supposed to reign in life, that I'm not consigned to defeat. But an argument comes in your head, because if you allow that thought to come, now you're allowing an argument to take place. And you've got to take authority over that. So when we talk about sin, sin just means miss the mark. Every time we embrace a thought that isn't what God thinks, we miss the mark.
And the downside is that we start to acclimatise little by little our thinking, our inward person, to the wrong kind of thinking. How many are you getting this? Is this helping you? So, we demolish the arguments. Your weapons of warfare demolish these arguments in your head. Doesn't mean now, there's a couple of things you can't pray. You can't pray for no more arguments. Because thoughts will come. Whilst ever you're on this planet, thoughts will come. But don't feel, you know, if you've struggled with thinking negative thoughts, don't feel defeated. Hang around, because the further you go in God, the more victory becomes yours. You've just got to hear the right stuff. And let me throw in this thought while we're on that. What about thoughts that we had when that was sown into us when we were young? It has various inhibitors. They tell us, the educators, that we learn over 50% of what we're going to learn in our whole life in the first 5 years. Your brain is far more plastic, if that's the word. You can learn languages much quicker, music. You can learn everything quicker. Your embracing is sucking up everything. And if in those first 5 years, so here's a good word for Christian parents, or those that are going to be parents, those first 5 years in particular, be very careful what you say. Don't be hard on yourself. We all make mistakes. Join the club, it's all right. But you are forming stuff in people. And so, and I wish I knew as a parent, well, I'm not a grandparent, but I'm old, nearly old enough. And I feel like it's kind of frustrating because you feel like you know a lot more now than you did then, you know? But anyway, see, that's important. So what happened when you were in your first 5 years, if you had thoughts sown into you in those years and you embraced them because you were a bit naive, you didn't know any other, that's what mum and dad said, and those seeds have been filled, and what that'll do is build a tree in your thinking. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of Christians struggle with. We were told certain things, which is why, you know, part of the reason Carrie and I are really stirred at the moment about what we're going to do about children. And not just our kids here, but all those kids out there. I ran into a few naughty kids yesterday. Staines. Friday night yesterday. No, Friday night and yesterday. I ran into, you know, really rude, and they upset the guy. A really rude to him, and him being him, he kind of didn't like it, but didn't do anything, and me being me, I ran after him. But oi, dude, he was ignoring me. Hey, you chicken. I don't have a word for you. And they looked at me. Oh, what did you do? I said, that's really rude. You don't want to treat people like that. Well, he was really rude. I said, yeah, it doesn't help you again. And I saw him the next day. That's when there was something else. They've just been brought up a certain way. They just don't know that people are valuable. There are hundreds of them out there. Happy they, while they're absorbing the patch that God loves and might have given you. Because a lot of what we're doing, and this is what it's called, we're doing, is renewing your mind. It's changing how you think. So if you've got those things, what happens is, you hear it often enough, the seeds grow, plant grows, tree grows. And for some of us, we have a tree in our lives that we're never going to amount to anything, or that we're never going to be happily married, or that this is enough and I'm not putting up with anyone, and at this point I flip out. And you can be a beautiful Christian person that loves Jesus and spend your whole life flipping out at certain things, or feeling defeated, or being crushed emotionally. I just can't cope with this, when it gets like this, I just shut down. You don't have to be like that. You would learn, you would train him to be like that. But a certain tree is grown there. If you're going to change, and here's another thing you can't pray, God chop the tree down. It doesn't work like that. It's the renewing of your mind, it's Romans 12:6. But you've got to take your time to build in the truth of God into your thinking. Because that will, so here we go, demonic argument. Let me look at the last little bit here. How we going, Jack? Helen? Good. You run me on the next one. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Isn't that talking about your thinking? You take it captive. I'm going to own this thought. Or the NLT says we capture their rebellious thoughts Christ. These rebellious thoughts will try and get you, and you say to them, no, 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 you're going to resist. You are going to obey what God said about you. That all forms. Let's move on. This might help you a little bit. Traditionally, spirit, soul, and body. How many people seen a diagram like this before?
Yeah.
With your hands, so you see. That's the normal kind of perspective that people show. It's really not as accurate as it could be. I think this is more helpful. The body's your outer person, and the inner person, the Bible talks about, is your spirit and your soul, which are separate, but they're very merged. The Bible says it's like bones and marrow. Pretty hard sometimes to, and the previous diagram you think that it's clearly separate. But it really isn't. The heart, the very heart of you is your spirit. But a lot of that stuff is merged together. And that's what you're dealing with. Your spirit person is rightly related to God, but your thinking is impacted by what you listen to. So a lot of people, a lot of Christians, let's change from that. A lot of Christians are rightly related to God, but in their thinking, they're still messed up, and they're still living much like what they were before. They still lose their temper at this, or they still get crushed by this, or they still feel they can't cope when it gets too much, or whatever, or they still feel bad about themselves, or they're still awkward about having a lot of money, or whatever it is, or they still feel that they can't get close to somebody of the opposite sex, or whatever it is. All those kinds of things, because they're the trees that have been built up over the years. What are we going to do about it? Here's what you do. Number one, repent if you've embraced those thoughts. Repent means I want you to see it, change your mind, decide to walk in the other direction. Repent does not necessitate tears, drama, wailing before God. It may do. It may be that your heart feels like, my goodness, I shouldn't have done that to God. Yeah. And that's good. But essentially, repent just means change your mind. I embrace, here's our thoughts. I think this is what I can say. It's the same. I get thoughts too. So I'm doing this, and I've got certain habits in my life, and I'm working on them all the time. One of them is that I tend to take on too much. I like to please people. I like to get things done. I'm pretty good at getting things done. But on the downside, I'll say, yeah, I can do that because I know I'm pretty good at making it happen. And then I'll take it on too much. And now I've got very limited time to try and finish all this that I can't do. And now I'm dealing with that, even though I was trying to do the right thing. And then sometimes if I allow the wrong thoughts to come, and it's almost subconscious really, I think, oh, you're just good. Those thoughts ever come, those words ever come out of your mouth, I love. That was just trying to, and then I catch myself and I think, and I say, I stop and I say, no, Paul, you're not hopeless. You just need to be a little better with your boundaries, and God is helping you do it. So I've got a little faith statement about that. Someone's historical. If you got what? Those things will happen. You'll say things like, this always happens to me. That doesn't always happen to me. It just happened this time, and it doesn't happen to happen. All those little things, change your mind. That's what repenting is. I'm changing my mind about it. Number two, repent, resist. Resist those thoughts. I like to say it this way, like Elvis used to say, return to sender. Everyone go, one, two, three, four, boom. Return to sender. We better do it one more time. One, two, three, four, boom. Return to sender. Back to hell, those thoughts. Don't get worked up. Oops, Satan's after me. It's just a thought. He's doing it all the time to everybody. He's a smart tactician. But he actually doesn't have authority. That's where he's trying to trick you. If you say return, it's got to return. Now, if you've got a tree that's been there for 20 years and those thoughts come, it's going to be very easy for you to open it. So you repent, whoop, open that, return. One, two, three, four.
Return to sender.
Beautiful. Reject it. Resist it, the Bible says. Resist it, and it'll flee from you. Nearly finished here today. Good stuff. Number three, renew. Renew your mind. Now, you've got homework this week. What about that? You ready, George? Got your notebook out? Michaela, you ready? Lindy, you ready? There's your homework right there. read those two verses. My goodness, that's taxing. That's demanding, Pastor Paul. Philippians 4:8, if you read it slowly, it's like honey.
Yeah.
It's sweeter than honey, Jemima.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 4:8 and Romans 12:2. Just those two. Some are taking a photo. That's okay. Take a photo. Philippians 4:8, Romans 12:2. Read those two. We'll talk about them next week. We'll mention them next week. It may not be the whole message, but I'll touch on them. They are like, they're so helpful. It's exactly what we're talking about. So you renew. The thing is, resist those thoughts. And then here's my final thought. There are packages from heaven. You see? There are packages from heaven. Most of the packages from heaven, I'm tempted to say all, they come by revelation from the Holy Spirit. A lot of people read the Bible and they might have never got a package from heaven. A package is like something is delivered. A thought comes and you think, bing, the light goes on. You start to play with that thought. I would hope that as we talked about it this morning, that happened a couple of times. This morning for you, you thought, yeah, why am I thinking about that? Revelation. And we can talk about how the Holy Spirit brings revelation. That's more likely what we'll do next week. But Caroline's around next week, so we could top and tail and what do you call it when two people do it? Tag team.
Oh.
But there are packages from heaven. So as much as you resist, and 1, 2, 3, 4.
Return to sender.
You send those thoughts back, you don't touch them. Then you renew your mind. Because there's packages from heaven. You read the scripture, you listen to this, you listen to again the podcast. I would listen to it, build it in. Packages from heaven. Telling you, Paul tells you, pray. This is my terminology, but pray for packages from heaven. Pray for the power to grasp the depth, the width, the length, and the height of the love of God for you that passes knowledge. That's how you can fill with all the fullness of God. It's a power to grasp. It's a package that comes and you say, God, I'd like that package. And stuff flows. That's why we worship the way we do. And we let it flow freely and I know sometimes it looks a little unusual perhaps. It goes longer than we think or whatever. But see, it's not about four songs in 20 minutes and then this and then this and then this and then you close in 1 hour and 17 minutes and you've got time to follow. I believe in orderliness. But my most important thing is that you're catching packages from heaven. You catch one of those and your life will be different. That'd be great for you to be close. Well, thank you so much for the fact that you've given us authority, the fact that you help us to understand the schemes of the one that's set against us, the fact that you have designed every one of us prepaid to rule in life. So I'm asking you, Lord, to help us ascertain when thoughts come, Father, and resist them and return them to the center. And Lord, to help us this week by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive packages from heaven so our mind is renewed in accordance with how you think about us. We thank you for it and we bless every one of you.